This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
They have not introduced, unless I'm forgetting somebody, the Toretto mother has never appeared in this film series, right?
Helen Mirren.
Let's say not Helen Mirren. Let's say she's out, because that also ruins the sexual chemistry between her and Dom.
Well, yeah, I think you're just misreading the chemistry.
So I want here's what I want you to do. All four of you, I want you
to make it Orson Welles in the same technology that they used for Mank.
I don't want that. But here, can we all pick one possible actress to play Toretto mom?
I've submitted my choice. I think you're misreading the chemistry. Okay. And I think, I mean, it's clear she just flew to LA in like 1960, whatever.
Right.
So
I'm going to say,
John Cena and The Rock are canonically brothers.
Yes.
I'm going to say Linda Ronstadt.
Wow. Mm. Wow. That's a good one. I'm going to swing complete opposite direction. I'm going to go.
I would have said Carrie Fisher before her untimely death.
Lily Tomlin. For a very confused
Lily okay, Tomlin
for real. Okay. Jane Fonda would do this.
Jane Fonda would be fucking, Jane. Yeah,
she would
actually
fucking wreck at it. She that's a good incredible
pick. Jane Fonda would be a very good pick.
Mm. Okay, so I think I know. I just have to make sure that yes,
like your target demographic.
No, I know who, because she has an Italian last name, and because I have a definite reason why Vin Diesel would cast her. That would be Linda Fiorentino.
Oh, she's crazy. So she'll fit real well into the cast.
Linda Fiorentino, if you don't remember, she's the coroner in Men in Black.
Sure. I don't think she's that much older, but...
That's it. What... Again,
yeah, Vin Diesel's going to be like,
Vin
just
be like I'm like 29. I'm 29.
Yeah, Linda Fiorentino.
She's 8 years old. She's 8 years older than Vin Diesel.
Ryan, it's called movie magic, Ryan.
You are only proving my point.
All right.
I got to have a mom who makes me look like I'm 22.
I'm going to bet that Vin Diesel was like, yeah, I love Jade. I had Jade on VHS.
All right. Hold on. I want you to close your eyes and picture this.
Winona Ryder in her Edward Scissorhands age makeup, not in her Star Trek age makeup.
I want you to close your eyes and picture garage door opens to reveal Dominic Toretto's mother, Diane Wiest.
I thought you were going to say Diane Keaton, and I was about to punch the screen. Oh my God. Okay, what if it's Kate Winslet, but it's Kate Winslet in character from Mare of Easttown?
Hello, Dom.
Got some water under the hood.
What if it's Kathleen Turner?
Okay.
Hello, Dom.
Wait, hang on.
That would be strong. Wait,
hang on. I need to do some math.
What if it's Reba's character from Tremors?
Please. Please and thank you.
What if it's Reba's character from Reba's sitcom?
All right, Reba? Be with me. Do you know who age-wise is directly in the bracket to be, is directly in the logical place to be Vin Diesel's mother? And is extravagantly Italian, who we have not brought up yet. Turned on my screensaver by accident. I'm sorry. Cher.
Yes!
Whoa!
Yes!
Oh, that'd be powerful.
Ship it.
That's the answer. Oh, my God.
Only if she talks all of her lines in auto-tune.
Hello, Dom.
First scene, she smacks Vin Diesel in the fucking face.
May be useful.
You never call.
Fuck. Dominic, my baby.
Oh my God. And then she has a dinner with Helen Mirren. Oh, the tense.
Oh my god.
My mom and my girlfriend. I had to introduce her to my mom.
I have
Cher
one
would
more.
Hate Letty. Cher would hate like Letty. Rules. Cher would not be nice to Letty the entire film.
Nope.
Or Letty.
but would win her respect with driving. That's there would be some sort of driving based respect.
Yeah. Does Cher know what cars are? Does Cher care to learn what cars are?
No.
This like movie should just take over that franchise that keeps doing the holiday movies, like the Mother's Day movie. Mm-hmm. But with this.
I have one more suggestion for the Toretto family. And because I think at this point anybody could walk in the door. My theory on casting is that you could put anybody in the Fast universe and they would survive.
They unblinkingly were like, oh yeah, John Cena's his brother.
They explain it by having the canonically smartest character say, oh, you're a little Nordic. That's a surprise.
It's like, damn, you're doing some hard races here.
Yeah, they have
a race for. Yeah.
They have Charlize Theron never leaving the set from like different boxes.
In a box.
Right. In a box. In both.
She stands in a box commentating on the casting.
Yeah. She's like, I'm Snide and in a box. I'm Cypher.
Give me $3 million.
Give me $3 million for this.
They probably filmed a Dior commercial on the same day on the same set.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, I think there should be somebody who already has an Italian last name put in as an uncle randomly. Somebody who likes hot rods.
Oh. This is the Tooch. How has the Tooch not been brought in?
I was thinking Guy Fieri. I think we just bring in Guy.
It's not Guy Fiero.
Yeah. Just have Guy Fieri come in, right? They're like, we need the best.
Yeah.
Hang on. We have seen young nice. Dom. We had an actor cast as young Dom. I went old Dom. Dom's vision of the future is Guy Fieri.
It's Guy Fieri.
And they never explain the hair thing. That's true.
They never explain the hair.
Guy Fieri is just constantly on the road. Just moving.
He doesn't do an accent. He doesn't do a voice.
No.
Yeah.
I live my life a quarter pounder at a time.
Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. I'll continue to be Spencer Hall, your host, one of two on this podcast, joining us from a beautiful sun-bathed porch, Jason Kirk, my fellow host on this here podcast. How are we, Jason?
I would say the sun is bathing the clouds and the clouds are filtering the sun. But nevertheless, it is a gray bathed porch and we'll take that over brown or like, you know, dark yellow or
shit ochres
or like a lime green bathed. Bad things have happened if the sky is lime green, I think. Usually,
yeah, I do like the stage in the Georgia summer because it is kind of like being under a hot, cheap blanket that's very, very thin and not quite enough to block out the sun, but just enough to make you super sweaty.
Yeah, I like the that we started doing this recording on video, and it's really hard to tell if Spencer is even here or not. Just sort of see a shape. Dark.
I look like if to the listeners at home, my image.
Can we
the best description?
Hang on, we got a screen cap.
The best description of it is
because it's like, what if
I should be talking like this?
It's like, what if unsolved mysteries, but at Nana's house.
And then I saw him just put the bodies in the trash. Didn't even cremate them. Hundreds of them.
Yeah, it's like there's a bear who witnessed a horrible crime.
Yeah.
A bear wouldn't snitch, though. A bear wouldn't snitch.
No. Unless you took away the dumpster, right?
When the Rangers took the dumpsters, I decided to turn state's evidence.
I got nothing left.
Like... A bear would never say that Ryan is day drinking while recording this show.
Right, Ryan Nanny, our guest.
Thematically day drinking.
What, why do we? I didn't notice. What's wrong with day drinking?
I didn't notice what that was. That's a beautiful tribute.
Yeah, Ryan is drinking a Corona Extra, the relevance of which will become apparent in a moment. Not drinking here in Atlanta, Georgia, our perennial guest, Holly Anderson. How we doing, Holly?
I have no complaints at this time because I haven't really seen you all day.
Superb. Yeah.
None of us have. He's just a hairy shadow.
Mm.
That's right. Just over here being like,
I was taking care of my kids when I saw the Rangers selling kidneys.
There I was, day drinking. I don't see what's wrong with day drinking. Like, if I drink at night, then I sleep weird. If I drink during the day, I sleep fine. So
if I tell you I'm just being European, it's cool now.
Oh, absolutely.
What is
it? Yeah, Ryan, just say you're Italian. Then it's like, okay, right. Sorry. Yeah. You're celebrating the soccer thing.
I'm going to say something that may be controversial. I don't ever think of you as being Italian.
I know what I look like. That's fine.
No. I think it's because you don't talk about being Italian all the time.
Yeah, it's. I could do a lot better in that regard. That's a fair point.
Yeah, but pop the wrist action. I need to see it. I need to see if it's in there.
Show us how it's done authentically.
No, wow. No, the gestures.
Double-handed, double-fisted on it.
Ryan, is being a cafeteria Italian a thing, like being a cafeteria Catholic?
I don't think it's quite that.
Like,
I think
you just pick and choose. Like, I want a day drink, but I don't really love fascism.
Well, no, you can't. You have to. One goes with the other.
If it's Italy, just wait a couple of years and they'll give up on that.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I think you do have a choice whether you want to be like Italian, like Giada is probably the best encapsulation of this, like where you overpronunciate words and you like drink wine in a certain way and style, whatever. Or if you want to be Staten Island / Philly Italian, which is a completely different thing.
Or you could be Instagram Italian, where I recently saw memes containing the term Italian X.
Where does Haunted Castle Italian fit into this, right? Like exotic villa, like name of the
that's
rose Italian.
That's Mario. What you're describing is Mario.
Mario. That's literally, oh my God. We ever considered that the name of the rose and like Mario Brothers, same story.
Yes,
the exact correct. Same story.
The name of the daisy.
Yeah. I was wondering, by the way, what is insider trading to a bear?
That's, you know, I often find myself wondering that.
Yeah. Like what would a bear have to go into witness protection over, right?
Mob,
would the bear be
witness the mob killing?
Yeah. That might be one.
Oh, was inside a dumpster when bodies were dumped therein.
Or knows the honey
Ocupado,
market.
Occupado.
Wait, the bear is also Italian?
Is frunate, is tunat.
I have some exciting news here. Apparently the internet, there's a debate on whether Wario and Waluigi are Italian or German. Typically, if you have those two things as your options, something very bad has gone wrong. Uh-huh. But apparently Wario's voice acting for a long time was German. So there's been some confusion. It seems he's canonically Italian, though. But
this says Wario is from Argentina?
We're on video, but because we can't see your face, I didn't realize that you were joking and thought you were looking at a wiki article that said that Wario is canonical.
I'm just
going to
put it in wiki and see if anyone corrects it.
It's within seconds, it'll be corrected. Yeah.
If she
this is Nintendo Wikipedia we're talking about. You better go hard if you're going
like,
to dabble in that.
200 people are going to get a text alert when you do this.
someone's going to
mount up
here at your house.
Let's go.
Or if we could just get Shigeru Miyamoto to have a crazy moment and go with it. You know, I've always thought Wario was from Argentina. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Have we talked about Miyamoto and Star Fox?
That Miyamoto.
Because that's a story that you recently told me that kind of blew my brain.
So if you watch The Games That Made Us on Netflix, the documentary about various video games and the development of video games in the late 70s and early 80s, there is a story about how Nintendo went 3D and how video games as a whole went 3D. Half the episode is Doom, which is pretty great because everyone involved in the making of Doom looks exactly like you think the people who made Doom look, right? Like jeans, tucked in banded collars, like a lot of Metallica and Slayer shirts in the office. Do they have beef? Of course they have beef. Everyone involved in the making of a moderately successful game by today's standards now have insane beef with each other. The game that is the other half of the episode is Star Fox. Star Fox, if you're familiar, it's the Nintendo flying game that was the first three-dimensional game for the Nintendo, the Super Nintendo, and was also made on a jailbroken Game Boy. So first of all, they summoned the guys who made Star Fox, who figured out how to go 3D on a Game Boy. They summoned them to Tokyo, and being fools, they got on the plane because I think they assumed, oh, we're going to be jailed, but free ticket to Tokyo. So they were like 20 years old. They go to Tokyo. They go to the board, like this massive meeting room and Nintendo, and all of these guys walk in, and they said the Nintendo guys all had jackets that said Nintendo on them, like work jackets, white work jackets that said Nintendo, which if I could have had anything in this life as an honorary garment, please, one of those in an XXL would have been magnificent. Second, they go, they thought they were going to be in big trouble. And then they say, hey, we think you should make a game for us. So they asked the guys, once they found out how, you know, that they did it, they said, you should make a game. So they make Star Fox, but Miyamoto, who, by the way, only uses their office, this little separate area that they keep the Westerners in, this crappy little office away from all the Japanese programmers, it's the only place where Miyamoto smokes. So Miyamoto will roll in, sit there and just like fire darts off one by one.
You like this, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love it that he just comes in big times and throws butts on the floor and is like, breathe my cancer. I'm Mario's genius.
Does he walk in like, what's up, fellow cowboys?
Yeah. And
this is how you breathe. Yes.
Yes. Hello, fellow Texans. And then he
start greeting everybody like that.
Howdy. So Miyamoto walks in and says, I love the 3D thing, but unfortunately it's too open. The user is going to get very confused. He will be flying around aimlessly. And this makes me sad. I can't have it. It just doesn't feel right. So he goes, I'm going to go home over the holiday and figure this out. So he goes home and he goes to the Inari Shrine. And the Inari Shrine, if you've seen it, it's like super Instagram friendly. It has a bunch of torii, those red gates, red Japanese gates, just like hundreds of them leading up to the main shrine.
They're like a bright red orange, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this bright orangey red, reddish orange.
Like a flaming sunset red.
And he's going through them and he's going through the gates and he says, aha, that's it. So he gets home and he says, I have two things that are going to fix the whole game. One, we're going to have gates that we go through, just like the Inari Shrine, his home shrine.
Which if you played Star Fox, you know, those wireframe gates that you fly through, like that's the origin of those.
Yeah.
The second thing he said was much funnier to me, which was Fox Pilot.
He's like, Fox Pilot, animal pilots. To Sold. Which the British guys are like, this is going to suck. This man's insane.
The fox is apparently not the mascot, but
the spirit animal of the shrine.
So he comes back and he's like, okay, gates, fox pilot.
And they're like, one out of two, buddy. And then they thought it was gonna suck until they played the game,
it
and they
totally
were like
worked.
And they were like, no man, the animal pilots really make the game. That's it. I highly recommend watching this, if only so you can do what I just did, which is tell all of your friends about
Fox Pilot.
Shigeru Miyamoto firing darts in this office going, Fox Pilot.
That's a great contrast to two games, Doom and Star Fox. Like one yeah. is I went into the spiritual place and I thought about animals who could do cool achievements, and the other one's like, we're gonna shoot Satan in
Let's
the fucking
find-
face.
Let's find the devil and shoot him in the gut.
Well, and the tone.
We're gonna take the game where you shoot Hitler and shoot somebody worse.
So, like, has Satan come to Earth? No, we went to him.
We found his ass. No, we can't. We can't come here. Here is where we have the beautiful shrines to the foxes. We're gonna go find his ass.
Doom is, and the tone, the import of each game when you're playing it, and the seriousness is completely inverse to the situation.
Yes.
Because Fox Pilot in Magical World feels like the apocalypse. It feels yes. like the most important game ever. And Doom, it's like, woo, party in hell!
Because if you fail, it's like, it's fine, it's hell. It's supposed to be this way.
Yeah.
I'm only making, by the second, I'm making hell better, so. And like, the other one is like, if you fail at Star Fox, like, I hurt the baby fox.
Star Fox, yeah, you are Flippy, defending your home peppy. Planet and the home planets of others. In hell, you are a home invader in Doom. That's what's happening. You are going into Satan's house and fucking his shit up.
Yeah, Star Fox really was the game that first gave me a sense of like War of the Roses style Doom.
Yeah. Star Fox actually had like drama, whereas Doom, you're like, I don't know, man. Satan's got castle doctrine.
It is really funny which of those games has the much, much, much longer script, right? Like, the game where you're fucking, you know, you're reenacting Dante's Inferno with a fucking shotgun. There's no script, no lines, no one says anything.
Mm-hmm. No.
Whereas Star Fox is like constant chattering and I'm making friendships and I care about all these ducks and pigeons and stuff.
I feel like Falco is holding a lot of this in and I don't know if that's great for team chemistry.
There's only two possible lines in Doom. One is Satan saying, what the hell, man? And the other is you, the player, saying, whatever, fuck you, Satan. That's it. End of dialogue.
Yeah. Also in the development of the games, if you've played them, Star Fox only became more dramatic. Like if you look at the last one, there are big cutscenes where people
it's a space opera. It
are interacting.
A space opera.
Yeah, but they're interacting with grave seriousness with a giant cartoon falcon, right? Like, what do you think, Falco?
How would you treat a giant cartoon falcon?
With the utmost respect.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas Doom,
I'm not trying to tell you how to live, man.
I mean, this is oversimplifying the case, and I know. So if you're some Doom geek, don't email me because I think you're all like weird. Like,
oh god,
I think
no,
you're all weird.
Weird by whose standards?
Don't email
Doom
me.
Fans are weird by this program standards.
Yes, Doom fans are weird. They wear unnecessary like metal bracelets and
good
stuff.
Good afternoon,
you know?
To Arizona State. We understand that we have just spoken to a lot of you in a manner that you may not find pleasing.
Also, a lot of Georgia grads, frankly.
Boy, in the list of video games, Herm Edwards would not understand. Right? Why am I in hell?
No.
What was the line from Amanda Mull's appearance on here? Like the land of $500 drivers and $8 ball caps.
Coach Herm, this game is about the harrowing of hell. Okay, done. Easy.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's not like, oh, I'm for that. That's good.
Why are you in hell? Because Satan's in your division. Now go win too.
He would probably think there was too much scoring, though. He's like, no. You need to defend more. Defend more.
Real quick, let's pick the hell mouth out of each major conference for funsies.
Well, I mean, we just did the obvious one, right? It's Tempe for the Pac-12.
That feels like the show hell mouth, right? hey, look over here.
Yeah.
The guest
hell mouth?
Which makes Pullman a really...
I think Tempe is hell's false front and the real one's in Tucson. Or Corvallis, who would know?
Yeah, Ryan says Pullman.
I said Pullman.
You know,
Jason said Pullman.
How many of us have been to that part of Washington?
Probably not going to happen.
There's this very, very strange sensation you get up there where the best way I can describe it is the sky feels like it's too close to the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like even when there are no clouds, it feels like it's just like right there.
Yeah,
like it's closing in on you slowly, trash compactor style. So that, yeah, I would buy that.
Big 12, I'm gonna go ahead and say
a lot of choices there.
Lubbock.
Okay, could also go with Dallas,
buddy. I'm hitting them with Waco. Let's do it.
Yeah, they're kind of overt about that, aren't
that's
they?
That's a strong case there.
I mean, who would know it better, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Big 10.
Ooh. Okay, I know we're all going to say East Lansing, but Swerve, Urbana-Champaign?
East Lansing.
For the banality of evil?
East Lansing has a lot of purgatory.
Purgatory vibes, but no hell vibes to me.
A lot of the Big Ten has purgatory about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and do
Purdue? West Lafayette?
Purdue Pete does look like he's seen
strong.
Some He really
so,
does.
The idea of hell, what is it? Eternal disappointment. Suffering. Supposedly, if you buy the idea, you will
not
never escape.
Bible.
Things will never get better. Maybe you have fleeting glimpses of hope, but don't fall for them. They're false every single year, year after year after year after year. The big house, brother. That's hell.
Oh, shit.
I was going to go.
Michigan men stroking their chins like, theologically, this checks out.
I was going to make one more argument that would be for the one place that resembles the good place in the TV show, the good place the most, a place where everything's fine and it's just good. And no, we're all good.
Minnesota?
Everything's great. Oh, yeah. Minnesota. Minnesota, because you know when you'll realize it? When it's far too late to escape.
Far too late. And now you live here forever.
Yeah. Oh, do you want to get mad about it? Oh, that wouldn't be good if you got mad.
You're a Twins fan.
I don't like
now.
Your voice right now in my ears.
ACC?
Wake Forest.
Wake Forest, because guess what? Nobody goes there. Everything.
And they have those,
and it's not in the Bible.
And they have those weird ghost pipes.
They already have a doomsday.
Oh, I didn't even think about the mascot when I said that.
Yeah, no, they already have the Wicked This Way, Something Wicked This Way Comes looking mascot. They've got the actual Doom level beneath the campus, which is mysteriously isolated from the rest of town. If you drive to Wake Forest, it is a part of town where if you were driving,
I didn't realize this was a real thing.
Like Resident Evil than Doom to me.
Yeah. Well, it's a place where
that's the dorms.
This shit sounds like Silent Hill.
Yes.
There's a manor.
Silent Hill is where Duke plays football.
Mm-hmm. There's a manor. And there's a weird man with a top hat who lives there. And beneath his house is a series of strange tunnels.
Isn't this literally the plot of The Secret Garden?
Wake Forest.
Plus Hell Deacon. Garden. Yeah.
Wake Forest. I've got a lump on my back.
It would be very different if instead of the demon deacons, they were the hell preachers.
They should think about that.
Gavel.
Liberty. Why don't you get on that?
Dave Clawson, you don't deserve this, but I'm giving it to you anyway.
Finally, SEC.
God, we're spoiled for choice here.
I mean, I'll make the big house argument again and say it's Athens, Georgia. By the way, the idea of hell, you know where it was invented? By Plato in Athens, Greece. Wow. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, QED. Never mind. Sold.
Problem solved.
Done. I wanted
they
to...
littered in hell.
That's what'd you do? I drove an RV to hell.
This really puts a disturbing pall over the historical documentary Alice's Restaurant.
I wanted to talk about preownedairboats.com because
Spencer, what's that?
Well, it is a vanity URL we have pointed to various things over the years, but right now it is pointed at the next step in the Fullcast evolution. Ryan, hit him with the knowledge because you did beautiful work on this, man.
It's literal podcast business. We have a merch store now.
It opened up Ryan's passion on the internet.
We've made a limited selection of items available for purchase. A lot of coffee mugs. I think we've
wink wink coffee. Gin.
Alex, we checked.
Yep. We've tried to like pull some things from different parts of show lore. There's at least one thing for each show host, I would say, that goes on here, although they're all pretty interchangeable.
All the full cat.
Yeah. We're just getting this started. If there are things we don't have that you would be interested in us looking into, email us at shutdownfullcast@gmail.com and maybe we'll make it happen. In the meantime, you can get a Mid-South Airlines coffee mug, Nightham University, Orlando, the Europe of Ohio. We got one with the full cat. We got a good postcard, a good sticker. We got options. We got good options for you. You can get
my personal favorite is the postcard, and I'm not going to explain to you why I'm so excited about the opportunity to purchase a postcard from the internet that will then be mailed to me. You just have to see it.
You can get a mug with Cartoon Spencer's face that just says welcome on it. And that like will only draw so many questions in public. Mostly, who is that man?
And why does he have a mug in public? I like that. That's the camp mug, right?
Yes, it's like the enamel tin one or whatever it is.
To remind you not to microwave Spencer. He doesn't like it.
It's the kind of mug that in like an old time prison film, the prisoners like rang along the bars or whatever.
Welcome to jail.
Ryan, I see you've given this a lot of thought, and I'm very pleased about that.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm the biggest fan of obviously Orlando being the Europe of Ohio. Just put it on my headstone. That's one of our finest creations.
Who was that? Was that Orion? Was that Orion original?
I don't remember.
I think that was me. And that's only because I was like, wow, that's a really mean thing. I'm glad I said it. But Orlando being the Europe of Ohio, you can get that on a mug. I have not stopped laughing at the Mid-South Airlines mug Not only
can I say one thing about it, people have been saying like, hey,
people are really upset about what we did to this movie.
People are like, this has inaccuracies. Yeah, man.
Also, of all the inaccuracies, people are really upset about the fact that Charlotte appears on the mug twice, and no one has yet brought up the fact that Michigan is in there.
Someone did. Yeah, someone said, okay, I think it was Coach. I forget the name. Sorry. Coach someone on Twitter said, thank you for acknowledging Saginaw is in the Mid-South.
Yep. Oh, good. Okay.
Yep. And added his wife, who is from, I recall, Fort Wayne. All I recall.
Yeah.
Coach Wellman. Thank that's you, who
Coach
it was.
Whatever.
Yeah. Saginaw, Michigan, by the way, if it's mentioned in a country song, it's officially part of the Mid-South. That's a Lefty Frizzell song. Therefore, part of the Mid-South. Eligible for coverage by Mid-South Airlines, official airline of the shutdown.
Okay. The other thing someone pointed out is the map centers on Tennessee and none of the locations, no reason to visit Tennessee. It's literally, even within flyover country, it is flyover country.
Tennessee just looking up at the sky like, we don't trust it up there anyway.
Like, bow, bow, bow. Get off my property, you some bitch.
Have you ever seen anybody in Tennessee when they try to pass the ball and they're like, no, get down here. You don't know what Tennesseans look at the open sky like everybody else in a landlocked state might look at the ocean and be like, you just never know. Mm-hmm. You never know what's in there.
Also, it would be something like, Mid-South Airlines will resume services to Memphis and Johnson City as soon as the Department of Revenue removes the lien against our property.
I think the assumption is that you're already in Memphis. That's what it is. Why would you be anywhere else besides Memphis, Tennessee?
Nah, you could just beam inside the pyramid. This is entirely unnecessary.
Or that there's some sort of wrestling beef keeping them out of there, right? Like, Jerry Lawler keeps us from landing.
Excuse me, unnecessary.
I don't trust that some bitch Jerry Lawler. We ain't going to his neck of the woods.
His credit is not unlimited.
Jerry Lawler does suck.
He does.
So this discussion of Mid-South Regional Airlines, which is
a lot of thought into, probably an amount that should disturb everyone.
It led to Holly inventing Middle South Regional Airlines, of course, which is essentially the Mid-South of the Tolkien universe, which
travels the world of The Hobbit and the Silmarillion.
We're going to go there and back again. That's what these flights go. Let's call it a round trip. I was thinking about Middle Earth locations in terms of Mid-South reality and how much our good friend Dusty Rhodes would appreciate each of them. Of course, we ain't going to Isengard. There's a rich man in a tower making all them folks work and ain't paying them a goddamn dime. I'm glad them trees flooded that son of a bitch. He didn't deserve that tower. Rich man, you didn't build that tower. Tower man, you piece of shit. Of course, we ain't going like Mordor because what happens there? It's hot. Dusty Rhodes is going to get sweaty. Just working my honey off Mount Doom.
His only protective gear being a Ribera Steakhouse jacket and a pair of like tights.
Right? I set up this entire thing just to get Jason to say Osgiliath in that voice. Osgiliath is overrun with paving.
Now everybody wants to go live with the elves. Okay. All right. They're pretty. They're pretty like Dusty Rhodes. All right. But there's some skinny lily white motherfuckers. I can't trust them.
My honey's a little too big to get on that boat.
My honey's way too fucking big for that boat. No, sir. Elf take one look at me and say, he's too pretty to come live with us, that Dusty Rhodes. You know who my people is? Probably obvious. I'm going home to the Shire. What are they doing in the Shire? They drink all day. They party all night. They got big hineys and they smoke the good weed.
No shoes.
Gandalf don't call it weed, but it's weed. Tolkien didn't call it weed. He called it tobacco, but let's be honest, it's weed.
And you know what? You know what hobbits aren't afraid of doing? Getting in the ring. They're not afraid to get in the ring.
Barefoot.
You're going to have to take this ring from me.
Ain't no fellowship like the fellowship of the ring. Let's go.
You won't even see me coming when I get the ring.
Except I'll take the ring off. So that'd be
I'll take the ring off.
I'll take the ring off.
You can see the look on my face.
See, you can see how pretty Dusty Rhodes is. I don't want to be
when I show Sauron the meaning of defeat.
I ain't going to deprive Sauron of looking at this pretty face.
Also, Dusty's very working class. And what's more working class than living in a hole in the ground?
That's... Or taking a long vacation with your gardener.
Without notice, right? Like, that's the other thing is the hobbits are just like, yeah, we're not telling anybody. Let's just go.
Me and my big honey gardener, we go walk all the way straight to that some bitch's front porch. And we're going to throw some shit
in straight down his mountain. I ain't never been up on one. I'm from the country. And then we're going to walk our asses back home. That's what we're going to do. And we're probably going to get drunk.
What is the belt after all, but a ring for the body? A ring that encircles the body.
Finger belt. Do you remember the taste of strawberries?
Why didn't they just fly the eagles the whole way? Because they can't carry my big honey. That's why. That eagle picked me up and said, oh, damn, you're too strong for me, Dusty Rhodes.
We also decided the Ents were from Memphis. Memphis.
Yes. That's why they talk slow. That's it. Like, should we get ribs or ribs? Hang on. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Just trying to figure out which wrestler the Nazgul are in this.
Oh.
That's I mean, they talk a lot of shit, but.
Yeah, no.
No, it's Penta.
It's Pentagon. Yeah, it's Pentagon Jr., the Nazgul. I mean, Armbreakers. Yeah, 100% Pentagon. You know, and the elves would be like, who's something really pretty, like the prettiest wrestler, right? Be
that's Rick Rude. All the elves are Rick Rude.
It'd be Rick Rude. It'd be the Miz. The Miz would be an elf, right? Like, I'm the MC. I'm the charming guy. I'm the Miz. Yeah.
Miz thinks he's an elf.
The
Miz is like when Gimli is like, you know, I'm kind of becoming kind of like an elf.
You know why I like the people in the mines? The
yeah, we love them. Folks in the mines.
People.
We love them.
They go down, Daddy, in a hole in the ground
it's
for 13
dark.
Hours a day.
It's too dark. Dusty skins get all pale down there.
They make an honest wage. It is a little dark. Need my mood lamp.
Gandalf is actually the most wrestling character of all of them because it's like, damn, they're still dragging him out. Shit.
Gandalf is the Undertaker. Yeah, I swear that guy was dead.
Sleep on top of a building for entire movies. Yeah.
And every time you see him, he's got a completely different character, but he's the same guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who even announces himself?
is AJ Styles Boromir?
The dead man. That is what they used to call me.
I would never call another man my king, though. It's gonna be a problem.
I return to you now at the ring of the bell.
All the way from Texas. The realm of Texas, where I'm a dad. Goddamn.
I just want Middle South Airlines, but it's over just like a map.
Yeah,
one of those hand-drawn maps in the script, and it's just like Tifton.
Soon for sale.
The Eagles from Tifton.
at preowedairboats.com. You'll be the first time you see the word Nagadoches in Tolkien font.
Tolkien never dreamed up anything as rich as Arkansas. Let's be clear.
That's no true. They're very rich.
I feel like everything
Walmart money.
Everything that happens in The Hobbit sounds to me like everything that happens in Arkansas. It's like I saw a scary monster. Oh, what was it? It was a wolf who was huge. That feels like a night in Arkansas.
College football turns to be like an evil king fell off his horse and great scandal did ensue. Like, yeah. King Petrino was pretty awesome. Jason, I have a question for you. It is cinematic, but not related to this particular line of films or movies. And it would be this. I think we've all seen it at this point. Did you see F9? Did you see Fast and the Furious 9?
Yes, did. Yes.
Okay. I think we're ready to talk about it.
My heart, man.
Yeah.
How about I have a little exercise. We will work our way up to 9. All right.
All right. All right. Okay. Game.
So now that there's enough of these movies for an 8 movie tournament, pause to make sure it sinks in exactly what I said there. Let's run through all 8 and let's determine a winner of these films. All right. Okay. I have created a bracket in a very creative system, which will probably start to sink in as we go through. All right. Our first matchup. It's going to be Fast 1, the movie where even Vin Diesel is somewhat skinny. And all this music is, it basically sounds like it's from a 90s DVD loading screen. It's got the worst music of any movie ever made. We're going to pit that against Too Fast, Too Furious, which is has really very, very, very little to do with any of these other movies, other than it introduces the best duo in the entire universe, which would be Tyrese and Ludacris. Fast 1 versus Fast 2, what do we got?
So here's my simplest logic. Which one of these movies has somebody saying very seriously the phrase race wars? it's Fast One and not Fast Two, and that's why I would pick Fast One.
Somehow it is not the movie containing Tyrese.
Correct. Like my immediate question for any Fast movie is, does somebody say, "Welcome to Race Wars"?
Okay, first of all, Too Fast, Too Furious has aged better than it had any right to, because I used to hold this up as the worst of the series. I've come to appreciate it more with time as Luda and Tyrese were woven more fully into the crew. This is my favorite Tyrese in any of the movies. I also appreciate that they made Luda the computer whiz. I used to hold this up as the worst one, and then the fourth one came out, and we're gonna discuss that later. But here's the thing about Fast One. I think you have to go for Fast One here. It really sets up the whole we're family dynamic. And Vin Diesel's voice, by the way, I haven't gone back to watch this again, is even weirder than I remembered it. Because when's the last time you heard Vin Diesel talk in a non-Fast movie setting? Has anybody ever seen him do an interview?
Like him not playing a character?
Yeah.
Honestly, maybe, the interviews are indistinguishable. Yeah.
So yeah. I left the disc in the player after we watched, I think, the first one, and went off to like fold some laundry or something. I came back and the extras were playing, and it was Vin Diesel doing an interview, and he kind of sounds like a guy doing a goofy Vin Diesel impression. Like there was a blooper reel running and he's sitting in the car and he's like, "We might go this way, we might go that way." And Vin Diesel's actual voice is like way more cherubic. And I think he's just started talking like Dom in all walks of life since this movie came out. I will hold up forever in complete and total seriousness that the first movie in this series is very quietly revolutionary in the way it creates this incredibly diverse, multidimensional Los Angeles and treats it as totally matter of fact and never comments upon this movie. I've been screaming about this on the internet for at least 10 years. You can go back to Grantland if you want to see thousands and thousands of words on the subject. I won't belabor the point, but I feel like we owe the first movie a historical debt of gratitude for creating this sphere to inhabit for so many years. Spencer Hall.
Fast One has better cars. I'm sorry. You guys have all these really like deep reasons.
Well, I want to be clear that I'm not.
Yeah, Race Wars is a real deep reason.
I'm not dissing Too Fast, Too Furious, which again has aged better than it had any right to be. Movie number four. But yeah, the first one has the first one just owes. We owe so much to it.
No, it's got the Skyline GTR in it. So that's why I think it's better. It also came first. My reasons are real, real deep, but those are the two reasons. Also, the music in one is so deplorable that I think it actually approaches a kind of grandeur. My sole reason, by the way, for even putting two in a ball game, I think that Fast 2 keeps it close until the early third quarter because of Tyrese.
Ejecto Cito,
cuz! Yeah, that is
Tyrese
the reason.
Wrote his own dialogue.
Tyrese, the introduction Ad-libed to Tyrese... Dome. Yeah, the introduction
also,
of Tyrese.
People don't remember who directed the second one. Do y'all remember this? Can you tell me off the top of your head who directed Too Fast?
Is it John Singleton?
It is John Singleton. Could have gone a lot further with that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the introduction of Tyrese, who I argue is the heart of the series in full, and may actually end up being the only character who properly understands their spot in the cosmos, that the dynamic of Tyrese doing dumb things and Ludacris doing smart things, which I think is extremely important, not just to the movie series, but to the universe as a whole. That dynamic keeps
they're
this
like
in...
a buddy comedy within the comedy.
Right.
Within each of us, there is a Tyrese and a Ludacris.
There's a Tyrese and a Luda struggling within each of you. One person wants to go to bed at 9 p.m. Yeah. and eat a salad. The other person is Tyrese, and that's why you're eating ice cream at 1 a.m.
I'm actually Letty with a Luda rising.
Yeah.
And what do we learn? We need our Luda and our Tyrese.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
They're
that's
totally right. necessary. But yeah, Fast One pulls away in the fourth
Jason,
quarter.
Are you going to overrule our unanimity on Fast One over Fast Two?
I think two is probably the one I would rather watch right now. But I mean, if we're talking, I can't really tell you the story of two, but one is like, all right, so here's, this happens. You know, like one is like, it's locked in forever. And like when that came out, it like Holly said, it was a thing where like the entire high school can love this just as much, you know, everyone is together in on this. It was, I don't remember anything like that ever happening before. Yeah.
And the movie itself, what makes it so powerful is the movie itself doesn't call attention to this fact at all, going so far, in fact, as to throw it back in your face by calling the desert races race wars.
Race wars.
But mm-hmm. they just...
calling it that and not having anyone saying, we can't say that when we're all here. Well, they just did. And none of them cared.
Mm-hmm. But just dumping this, like, it is, and this movie came out when I was first, like, learning... learning more about movies than to sit through movies, but this is also the first movie I ever recall seeing as a kid that reflected what I thought Los Angeles looked like when I ended up living there.
Was this why you moved to Los Angeles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. To become
yes.
To become a DVD thief.
Mind your own business.
Hey, statute of limitations. It's fine.
Yeah.
Cerber, you get a vote too. You in?
I mean, it's really tough to choose. I guess I'll say Fast One because of how important it is in launching everything, but I really agree on the Tyrese point, like strongly agree that it's tough to not choose two because of his expanded role.
It is a tour to Tyrese. Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
you learn in the movie that Tyrese is from fucking Bakersfield. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't cross that man for money.
Yeah. Also, by the way, Suki's Honda S2000, the pink car.
Yeah, Devin Aoki not coming back in future movies, I thought was kind of a miss.
Yeah, and that car, which,
oh sure,
I will steal one day.
Next up, next matchup, we have, see if you can figure out the seating method. We have Tokyo Drift versus, Vegas is setting a high point spread here. Tokyo Drift versus Fast Four. Okay, so
Holly grabs the mic. Tokyo Drift is an American cinema classic.
That was a blowout.
Fast Four
is of the ones that are actually canon, undeniably the worst one.
Now that everybody's seen it, can I explain to you why I urged both Ryan and Cerber not to watch Fast Four?
Please.
Sure.
Lore wise, it is skippable.
Ultimately, yes. At the time, it didn't seem so, but ultimately, yes.
Right. Lore wise, it is skippable, especially with the larger catalog. After the way Tokyo Drift was shot, especially the way the entire movie ends with a downhill mountainside race in the dead of fucking night, in which you can actually track what's happening, to have four end in another dead of night dark race, this time through tunnels under the US-Mexican border, in which everything is so, like, I saw this in the theater and it's repeated on the DVD and it's repeated on the Blu-ray. It's not a problem with any of the transfers. This is in the movie. You can't see shit. The editing sucks. It's muddy and you can't see anything. And lore wise, there's nothing there that you can't get made up for, like, structurally in the future films. Pass.
The one redeeming thing I guess it gives you is this is where Gal Gadot's character is introduced, right?
It is, but also they don't really give her backstory. She's not ever introduced as she's not ever introduced beyond the fact that she's not even introduced as being undercover.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Like, she's just this person. Like, she, and also they don't give her a lot to do in this movie. She has a much better role in Five.
This is going to be unanimous, right?
I'm getting this a lot of thought. Yeah.
I also,
the one thing that Four has going for it lore wise is that it puts Paul, this is actually a perfect example. If you really, really want to see Paul and Dom get back together, you have this movie.
Yeah.
However, that getting back together is set up in the closing credits of Fast One. You already know they're going to go do this. Like, you already know that Paul Walker has flipped and is helping Dom break out of prison. You already know he's headed that way. This movie is unnecessary.
Plus, Fast Four doesn't have one of the boys from Home Improvement in it.
Thank you for shouting out Zachary Ty Bryan, subdivision.
Lest we make this all about Four, I want to just name a handful of things. from Tokyo Drift.
I'm so
that
glad
are
they brought back Lucas Black and his one, weird face.
One idiot from Alabama meets every redneck idiot from Tokyo, right? The great universal redneck bonding. Yep. Okay. There are hillbillies everywhere, and all of them drive cars too fast, right? Hey, I'm a gaijin. Adore it. They just lean into it the whole time. Two, Han. Three, Bow Wow, baby. Bow Wow gets a credit.
Bow Wow's Hulk car.
In the long, insane list of people who have been in the Fast franchise, Bow Wow is up there for what?
Bow Wow's tied with Helen Mirren.
Yeah, it's like Bow Wow and Helen Mirren are in the same film franchise. Impossible without Tokyo Drift.
With second time, Brian.
I'm going to repeat once again that Helen Mirren only came back for Fast 9 because they promised they would let her drive. Also, there's some beautiful emotional moments that here is also another emotional core that resonates forwards and backwards throughout the chronology of the universe. And it's Han standing on top of the building watching soccer and telling him, this is my Mexico. Like, fucking chills, man. And
also,
another
thing with 3 is it's kind of the Ant-Man Doctor Strange of this universe where like when does this happen? I don't, and like if someone were to ask exactly which two movies it's between, I'm like, it doesn't matter. I don't know. Han's alive.
I also appreciate that this is the only movie that suggests that driving is a skill that can be learned.
Yes.
Every other movie, it's like you're either an awesome driver or you put a dangerous amount of knobs in your car.
Yes, I love it. Every other movie, driving is about like timing and courage.
Fearlessness, correct.
Right? Like Dom, when he wins
driving
a race.
Driving is about wanting it.
Yes.
It through all these movies, when Dom wins a race, he looks at the other guy and he says something like, too soon, or like, you have a nerve, or it ain't about the car, it's about how much fucking work have you put in?
Right. But Tokyo Drift is like, no, there's physics here. And here's like a.
You need rules, practice, training. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You stupid American. It's not pushing a button the hardest.
Yeah.
So Tokyo Drift, because it takes place like kind of to the side in the orbiting universe, does not have the key scene that makes, in my opinion, all the rest of these movies so infinitely pleasurable. It does not have the putting the band together scene. What it does instead is substitute Bama Boy learning to drive in a very enjoyable montage scene of about equal length.
Mm-hmm.
Like you get that same, okay, we're really putting the thing together now, both when he is learning to drive and when they are constructing the car.
Yes. Yes. Agree.
Like they took what could have been a weakness in the series overall and replaced it with a component of, I would argue, equal strength.
So this is the Pac-12's entry.
I have spent a lot of time thinking very seriously about these films.
Also, this is Justin Lin getting the reins back. That's like super important for this because the series really doesn't happen.
For all we make fun of Vin Diesel, if he doesn't agree to come back for a cameo in the final moments of this film, the rest of the series does not happen.
Mm-hmm. We're going to advance Tokyo Drift. Any objections to it being unanimous, let them know, because here comes a heavy fucking matchup, folks. All right.
This one's going to hurt me.
It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. We got two conference champs rolling in here, and one's not making it any further because we got Fast 5 versus Fast 6.
Fuck, Jason. Shit. Why'd you?
Boom. This is nearly a championship grade matchup, folks. We got Fast 5. The Rock is the bad guy. The heist scene. All right. We got Fast 6. The Rock becomes a good guy. The airplane
thing
happens. So yeah, those are the two.
Happens and happens.
Yeah. I have the favorite in this matchup, but let's see how it plays out.
I'm going last. Okay. I have a lot to say.
Let's let Server go first. I want to hear Server. Okay.
Fast 6
you and your wife just started watching these, right?
Yeah, and forgive me if I get mixed up here because we watched them all in a row. When we finally got to Tokyo Drift, the reason why it's probably my favorite out of all of these is because of how much I was looking forward to it while sitting through 10 hours of other Fast and Furious movies. Fast 6 is the one where they jump out of the airplane in the cars, right? And they release the chutes at 1,000 feet and everything goes fine.
Yep.
Picked that one.
Wow.
You know, that's a compelling argument.
I'm going to Riverside that and pick Fast 5, and this is the reason.
I don't think you've ever used Riverside in the same way.
No.
Twice.
But
it's like a jewel you twist in your hand. You find new meanings.
It has a family of meanings to me. And
all right.
Like Dominic Toretto, I Am About Family. The thing with five is this. It's pretty much equal with six in terms of interest for me. It's pretty much equal in terms of set pieces. They're all equally ludicrous. They are all at exactly 14 out of 10 in terms of intensity. So how do I differentiate the two? It's this. I remember that The Rock in five is as oily and oiled as any character in the history of modern cinema. It should have gotten an Oscar for technical achievement all by itself, because that man is covered in a fine sheen of Vaseline the entire film. I don't know how he picks up a gun. I don't know how he keeps his hands on a steering wheel. In addition to that, I believe this is the last appearance of The Rock's infamous "I'm a serious actor in an action movie" goatee. That's how you know that they reverse the usual polarities of good and evil, because remember, when The Rock becomes good in the Fast universe, he loses the goatee, right? He's a right. foe when he has the goatee, but is working for the law.
You know,
and then he
put a
it.
Lot of thought into that and was like, this is really good change.
Yeah. Also, it is The Rock's worst look, easily. It is The Rock's.
No,
is
the worst look was the Instagram photo he took with Jeff Bezos a few weeks ago.
That's worse. That's worse. But you know, the fanny, it's like the fanny pack has nothing on The Rock's super oily physique and t-shirts, which frankly serve no structural purpose. Like, he really shouldn't wear a shirt the whole film, because I don't know how he's going to take this off, because again, he's covered in Vaseline head to toe.
I'm also going to pick Fast Five, because I would argue, and I don't think I'm wrong here, Fast Five is the last movie in the series where the central crew are still outlaws. Everything beyond that, they sort of like the movie franchise sort of shifts more into like a Mission Impossible sort of vein, where even when they're not officially working for the government, they're like, this is so secret, even the government can't know about it. And I think this whole crew, I enjoy watching them most when they are outlaws, when they are working against the cops and the government. And that is why, like, and that's why I think like The Rock was such a good entry into the series, especially in Fast Five, because he presents this like very interesting foil, and it makes the safe scene when they're dragging the safe down the street, it's like all of this is happening because they stole the safe from the cops. Yes, the cops were super corrupt, and it's not like a normal cops and robbers situation, but I think these movies work best, and especially they work best from Dom's perspective, and Dom is a character, when Dom is working outside of the law. I don't think his backstory, his character, and we'll get into this as we get into later films, like, I think he makes so much more sense when you're like, no, this is a guy who like has to do his own thing, and he has a very small crew that he trusts, but they're like not playing by the rules. And this is the last movie where they are not playing by anybody else's rules by their own, and it's phenomenally entertaining.
Yes, I think, so if Holly's going last, I will jump in now. This is, I looked on my letterbox right now, I have like 25 star movies, this is one of them. Like, easily one of my favorite movies ever. It's like everything Ryan said, it's the last one we really feel like we're rooting for the quote unquote villains. The Rock is an awesome opponent. You buy The Rock might beat all of these folks, right? The Rock, with like the weight of the federal government, is like the most legit threat they've faced. They've had to invent shit, you know, that doesn't, like, come on. I frankly don't buy Charlize Theron's gang like I did just The Rock standing there.
Just The Rock and like three coworkers.
Yes.
The Rock and anybody versus, yeah.
He hasn't even flexed his way out of the cast yet in this movie.
That's yeah. More the heist, I'm a sucker for heist movies. I love the planning, the pieces, the logistics, and seeing how it goes wrong and how they knuckle through it anyway. They've had to top this by getting more and more and more over the top, which is entertaining. But story-wise, I don't know. Fast Five to me is a perfect action movie with heart.
Okay. When approaching movies, even if they're movies in this particular genre, or maybe especially when they're movies in this particular genre, one thing I really loved about Roger Ebert is that he, by his own explanation, approached all movies high and low when grading them on a scale of like what they were trying to do as movies and how well they accomplished this. I think five and six are both massively entertaining. Six I agree with Ryan, does represent a pivot towards the more mission impossibilization of the series. And much as I enjoy some of the movies in the post Paul Walker divide, I'm with you. I don't think it's as entertaining when it's like, okay, you've got this government agent and this other government agent was bad. And it's way more interesting in five, but here's the thing. It's less about for me about what is wrong with six and more about what is right with five, which is this. If you're grading a movie purely in terms of what it has tried to do and how well it has accomplished this, Fast Five took this trilogy about street racing and this other trilogy about what if street racing, but also Japanese mafia, mashed them together and pivoted the entire fucking franchise into a heist movie in the middle of the movie. Did this, like, not from the start. This is not what's happening at the start of the movie. The start of the movie is a we're on the run shit and we might have to street race out of this. They turn the series into a heist series mid movie. The audacity with which they accomplished this, and they accomplished this pivot perfectly, because by that point, when they're dragging with a Chargers or Challengers, what are those police cars?
The Challengers, I believe.
To a pair of Challengers dragging a bank safe down the streets of Rio. And you're like, sure, absolutely. Oh. Absolutely, these guys could pull that shit off. This is also where it picks up a ton of the loose threads from four, enabling you further to not have to go back and watch four. But the degree to which five spins this whole franchise on a dime, I don't think I'm spoiling anything, because I've said this for years when I say that this still stands to me as the pinnacle of the whole series.
There's
one other movie that we'll get to, I suspect, in a minute, that to me comes close, and none of the rest of them do. I don't mind tipping my hand right now. Five is a towering fucking achievement.
Five has advanced, and I believe the next movie here will be the one that you are mentioning, so D7.
Let me go first, then. Who's it?
Okay.
Can I issue one correction for
one correction? This is the one with the airdrop.
Yes, this is the one where they drop the cars off the plane.
Oh, so right, that's
I got
six?
Mixed up with no, that.
Six was the six. Six was the big plane. Seven is the cars from scene. Planes.
Oh, the runway, 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 runway.
I totally take it back. Then it's five, because that's the first one when I watched it that I was like, this is a good movie.
Okay.
Seven okay. Is.
It
I
is.
Was like, yeah, I was like, these are really bad. And that one, I was like, this is great.
Seven is, we learn Jason Statham apparently killed Han, and this is the movie where Dom and Brian part ways.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna go first because I just want to. Wait, what is Seven fighting? Sorry.
Seven is fighting nine, because of course eight and the other one are not canon until Jason Statham is forgiven by Han.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So seven or nine is the choice here.
Seven or nine.
This is a powerful editorial decision.
I'm going first. Okay. And I'm just going to, I'm going to continue my thread from what I said last time. I didn't think this fight was going to be as close as it was. I'm very glad to see nine in the bracket at this spot. Thank you, Kamish, for your wise and sage decisions. But by the same token, the same device that makes me represent five as the champion of the series also gives me a huge amount of respect for seven, because of what they had to do and the way in which they pulled it off with grace and heart and consideration for everybody involved after what happened to our beautiful baby, and before they replaced him unnecessarily with a lumpen Englishman. Like, seven had a bitch of a job to do, and I genuinely fucking cried at the end of the Fast and Furious movie. None of this is to slag nine, which I've only seen once, but which I, this is a controversial opinion that I have seen many other people take the opposite side on. I absolutely love that they are still keeping Brian just off stage in the ninth movie. I love that they are keeping, I don't care how goofy it gets. I don't care if they're pointing and saying, oh, Brian, right there. I don't give a shit if you think it's goofy. Like, this cast has been, like, listen, you know, the Rock and Vin Diesel feud aside, this cast has been part of each other's lives for multiple decades at this point. And if they want to keep that dude alive and emotionally centered, like, fuck you for thinking that's goofy. Anyway, that's all. I enjoyed 9 very, very much. I would like to see it again. 7, everything after 7 is a little to a lot downhill for me because, dang, Paul Walker and Vin Diesel were like the cinematic romance of the century, and we maybe didn't know it until it was too late. Shit,
the Sam and Frodo of the
yeah.
This is not middle anything. This is
yeah.
High Earth.
Anyway, I'm gonna let somebody else talk. But 7 had a fucking volcano of their own to summit, and I think they pulled it off way better than we had any right to expect.
I'm gonna go ahead and say a kind word about 9, maybe a few, because
I wasn't slagging 9.
No, but I'm
defending 9.
I will tout its assets as this. I don't need any of this to make sense anymore. It's the best. They have completely said goodbye to reality. If you are the kind of person who really enjoys that part where they lose control of the hot air balloon with nobody in the basket, like that to me is what Fast 9 is, because spoilers ahead, Tyrese and Ludacris go to space. Now that's in the trailer, but what you don't know is that basically Ludacris and Tyrese have this discussion on faith and science while in a Fiero that has been converted into a rocket while wearing deep sea diving gear.
Moving?
Converted by
diving bells.
Yeah,
converted by Bow Wow and Lucas Black.
Bow Wow and Lucas Black. Alabama,
the entire
Alabama
universe
Louisiana.
Merges to send Tyrese and Ludacris to fate to space. And this is the moment when Tyrese, who's been the butt of jokes for 8 movies, is the heart and soul of the entire thing that gets the smart
astronaut
guy moving, who says, yes, we understand what's happening here, but it don't mean a damn thing if we don't push the button. And we needed both of them.
That's right. The most powerful force that saves the world is the combination of Luda's intellect and Tyrese's heart. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that's very moving and intellectual. But that, of course, is not why I liked it. I liked it is because everybody just becomes a superhero in this movie. Tyrese fights like 30
Tyrese
guns.
Talks about how they're superheroes now.
While this is happening.
Okay, I really thought we were going some... I really thought we were in for a third pivot into, like, science fiction. When I, like, that put me on edge for the rest of the movie when he was like... Can we
yeah.
die?
Like, this actually takes place in the Wrinkle in Time universe.
Yeah.
Like,
it was hilariously self-aware. Like, he's saying, look at us. We have no scars. We've blown up tanks and submarines, yeah, and we're all fine. And it's like, it was so
was
on the nose.
Kind of a silent tribute to Brian in that same moment.
Yeah.
I expected him, like Ludacris, to say, yes, we're actors in a movie, right?
Yes.
But there's a payoff. In space, of course.
You get the Gulf Coast space program. Louisiana and Alabama sending a Fiero to space. You get Tyrese fighting like 30 dudes without a gun and killing all of them.
Let's all talk about, first of all, I didn't think that I would have to wait this long to see the Fast movie bring up one of my favorite cinematic classics of all time. I'm speaking, of course, of the 1956 French film Le Ballon Rouge. But can we talk about John Cena's 10-minute zip line?
Oh yeah, we were cracking up in the theater. Fucking Mary Poppins.
every time you turn back, and he's just like,
it's pretty funny if a Spider-Man size guy is doing that. When a man the size of a gorilla is doing that,
yeah, and then gets just tackled by his brother.
His brother, who's probably never been to London, but who knows which street roof to run up to fly across, and. I have a complaint. I can't hold it in.
Take them going to Scotland as a personal tribute to you. I meant to.
I'm so excited. The Scottish accents and Tyrese being freaked out by Scotland. Yes, thank you. But so I don't want to jump in this early, but 9 to me has the same disease as 8, where it is very clear the star of the movie is also the producer of the movie, where Vin Diesel's character does not play by the same rules as anybody else. Anybody else, for them to dive across an alleyway to tackle John Cena out of the sky, they would need Ludacris telling them how to do it, and they would need someone getting them up there and someone else to catch them in a car. Dom is Superman in this universe. There is a scene in a well tower, whatever, where for no
clear reason, he locks himself in so he can fight 30 guys. He has a slow-mo, because he's a big husky guy, slow-mo Captain America elevator fight. It's not that cool, but it, you know, there's a lot going on. He's fighting 30 armed men at once and bull rushing through him with great ease. He looks like fucking Neo in the third Matrix movie, this big beefy guy. Then what does he do? It gets even worse. He becomes Samson and tears down the tower. And then what does he do? He becomes fucking Gandalf. For 40 days and nights I fell, and he has a fucking dream vision. He has a fucking vision where he sees, oh, John Cena didn't kill my dad after
Drive,
all.
You fool.
And then it gets worse because he learns John Cena. That's the whole movie right there. He learns John Cena didn't kill their dad, right? But what did he do? He accused John Cena of this, drove John Cena to a life of espionage. He ruined John Cena's fucking life, kicked him out of the family, and never apologizes for it. His reunion with John Cena is, here, I'll have you a car so you can escape after you risked your life helping us. Fuck you, Vin Diesel. Apologize to John Cena, you piece of shit. You accused him of killing his dad on purpose, asshole. Oh, you're the producer. That's crazy.
It's weird because they so clearly inserted John Cena into the situation to be like, oh yeah, The Rock, you want your own franchise? Well, we got our own wrestler now.
Yeah,
we got another wrestler boyfriend, and then they completely abuse the shit out of that character.
I love it. The casting is awesome because like Vin Diesel, like in interviews, he's called like, yeah, Dwayne Johnson, that's my little brother, right? And it's like, okay, buddy. So what do they do? What do they replace him with? An even meatier wrestler who's literally Dom's little brother. And like, I love the flashback casting, the flashback scenes when they're little kids and John Cena's character is tiny and skinny. you can just hear Vin Diesel in the casting, make sure my little brother looks tiny compared to me.
Young John Cena,
see him, like, whispering that's Chappie style to his family in the theater, like, do you see how he's smaller than
you? See how much bigger I am.
The actor who plays young John Cena looks like he should grow up to be Brian from the Backstreet Boys, not John fucking Cena.
Like, I know, that's what John Cena looked like when he was six. Role.
Yeah.
Other thing that we know, like, we've talked on here about how, like, when Vin Diesel has to stand next to The Rock, he's clearly standing on like two boxes, right? Mm-hmm. In this one, him standing next to Cena, who Cena's like the Big Show has said, John Cena is the strongest man I've ever been in a ring with. John Cena is a fucking horse, right?
Yeah, he's
Vin
he's
Diesel standing next to him. Yeah. He's standing like Trump. He's like got his shoulders hunched forth. He's like, I don't exercise enough to stand next to John Cena. I'm going to stand
John
weird.
John Cena is also not that tall.
Yeah,
which
he's
another
six
reason
one.
They cast him, I have to think. Yeah.
John Cena is basically, if you took The Rock, crunched him down, but kept all of him.
Also, you can see the platform snakes.
Well, oh, yeah, the law of mass conservation in wrestlers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I got that.
You can see the platform snakes on Vin in some of the scenes. Like, his sneakers have heels that are like
a lot of sloping driveways in this movie. A
lot of sloping driveways.
Like, Vin, we get it.
Also, that scene where he sees, you know, and learns the secret of his family. Dom goes to car heaven.
Yeah, he did.
The existence of car heaven is posited in F9.
Where else would he go?
There's
they
a
went
car.
Like full seventh movie of Harry Potter with this. And I was like, yeah. I sat on my seat for like a good 20 minutes after that first ludicrous conversation being like, are they going through the fourth wall and we're going to end like inside the actor's studio?
I wish he had gone to an empty white space and just talked to Lightning McQueen for 20 minutes.
Doc Hudson up there going, hey, kid.
Yeah. Nine was entertaining. Like, that's fine. I'm just, I've had enough of Dom as like the everything guy. Dom should be at this point the wise old guy on the hill or whatever. Ludacris and Tyrese are your fucking stars. Run with it.
Also, I'll say it. Paul Walker balanced him out.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
And he's not there. And like, Dom is now like, okay, I'm going to tie this back to Great British Bake Off for what should be obvious reasons.
Of course.
You know how Paul Hollywood is so clearly now viewing of himself as being the grown-up in the room now that Mary's gone and kind of lording it over everything else? Paul Walker and Mary Berry, in addition to being two of the most beautiful human beings ever to walk this earth, have like a tempering force to them.
Sure.
That I think is totally missing. And attempting to replace him with Jason Statham did not fucking work. I appreciate you keeping him out of my line of sight until the very, 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 very end of the movie.
Yeah, we stayed for the end credits, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did we all?
Yes, yes,
did we all
yes.
Catch that? Okay.
So Han and Statham. Han went to go find Statham. If Han approves, Statham may enter the family.
Yeah, that can only happen. this is where I'm back to arguing that we can't know one way or the other. We have no way of knowing whether or not it's okay to even cock your eyes at Statham until the 10th movie, because this can only happen with Han say so.
So I'm
going, motherfuckers.
I'm going to be difficult and I'm going to pick nine.
Stop trying to make Jason Statham happen. Okay, I'm done.
I'm going to pick 9/7 for two entirely self. Well, one selfish reason. One
is
not.
One of them the reason that Vin Diesel and Helen Mirren clearly have sexual chemistry?
Mm-hmm. No, but Helen Mirren
driving backwards
reason.
Is a strong
That's
point,
a goddamn yeah. good reason.
Like there was a smolder.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. She would. Number one.
I think you mean, okay. Okay.
No, it's her choice. I want to be clear.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
First of all, 9 is the only one of these movies I've seen in a movie theater. So I feel obligated to pick it because like I didn't really appreciate how much more enjoyable these movies are in a movie theater over on a even a good television. Mm. Second, I think 7 was very frustrating to me because I think Statham is so interesting as a villain. When they like let him be a villain, it's sort of like I think they're doing an interesting thing, and I like that they're sort of doing the reverse family thing where he's coming back at them.
Actually, okay, I want to know what's interesting about it.
I think he's like I like that he's sort of this unhinged. Like they set him up with the
I
opening
like that
scene.
He gave in us Helen Mirren.
The opening scene in the hospital, I think, is really good because it sort of is establishing like, oh shit, this is somebody who's very competent, but also has no regard for anybody else, and is going to sort of like come at our crew. In a very aggressive way.
A good villain.
The problem I have is that the rest of 7 doesn't really pay that out. Like the climax of 7 is they're fighting a drone that Jason Statham is not piloting.
I think that was supposed to be like a surprising reveal. And I was just like, oh.
Yeah, I think it like undercuts him as a villain in ways that are not that satisfying, where it's like, no, he's too busy ramming his car into Dom's car on the top of a parking garage, which is not very fun to watch, as it turns out. It is for a little bit.
But they stomp the parking garage and The Rock wields a helicopter gun with his broken arm.
That's true. And then Letty, like, loves Dom back to life. I don't remember.
Yeah, they keep dying. Those two, they just die all the time.
Sure. Yeah. So I will acknowledge that 7 is the right choice, but 9 is my choice.
No, that's totally fine. Yeah, this is like this is a welcoming space, and I'm glad everybody's feeling comfortable enough to get vulnerable here.
With infinite respawn, you always have a family.
I also appreciated that 9 threw in our faces without even really dealing with it. It was like, hey, two of the best secret agents in the world, they used to be like two levels below NASCAR assistants to their dad.
When we were driving out, my friend was like, so when they were hanging out at the tuna sandwich stand, John Cena was like, I'll never live up to his shadow. What shadow?
Cerber,
are you also...
Were they also wrote into the script that they were like similar height?
Yes, yes.
Similar build. And we're all just like, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Paul Walker would never have done that shit.
No.
Yeah, Paul Walker was fine being the skinny guy.
Yes!
Yeah. He was totally fine. I would also add one more thing. F9, it's got Michael Rooker. Michael Rooker, value add wherever
extremely
he's at.
Extremely good addition.
Yeah.
Okay, one more thing. I'm
sorry.
Yeah, so you go first.
Are Ramsey, Luda, and Tyrese a thruple?
No, absolutely not.
How did you know
no,
to
why
finish
not?
My sentence?
Because I know what you were... I've had that same thought, but she makes
well,
it
they
very
had,
clear.
They had all this romantic tension, then it went away, and now they travel everywhere together. Is this what people think of us?
Yes.
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing I will add that I appreciate about 9...
Cerber is Ramsey.
From a flex perspective, Charlize Theron clearly said, I will come back for this movie. I am doing one day in one location. And
I will not go outside.
You're going to put me in a box.
Like, Charlize Theron to me is not a... I know she's an Academy Award winner. Charlize Theron is not a big enough star to me where she can be that effective with that amount of screen time.
No, but I appreciate that she was
Nor does she have enough novelty where you're like, hey, it's Charlize Theron.
I'm too distracted by her haircut.
It doesn't actually work.
What was that?
It doesn't work and it doesn't add that much to the movie, but just from her and her agent's perspective, I'm like, what a fucking good move.
I really liked the oligarch prince. Sure. I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just very strange that it's setting up to if Fast 10 is the final movie, as Vin said, he promised
Fast
Paul
10,
Walker.
Your seat belts.
Everyone's
I'm not
going
holding
with...
out for that because they failed me when they failed to call it Fast and Furious, and I will never fucking forgive them.
Everyone wants them to call this one
Fast. You're not better than me.
Everyone wants Fast X Furious for this one. But if we do that, then we can bring in Vin Diesel's The Triple X Universe.
Can I just I want to hear
Cerber. I want to hear Cerber 7 or 9 first.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been muted for most of this because I have not seen 9. Okay. I've been working my volume down over here. Spoilers. I don't know anything that's happened because I'm very good at working this volume.
So our next episode is going to be another hour and a half of just us asking you about this movie.
Asking you questions about this.
Because we have just put in an effortless 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Just discussion.
I got to say, like, I'm disappointed I haven't seen it. I really didn't think I was going to look so forward to seeing it. But I think it would have a tough time topping 7. Just because 7 is so beautiful.
The cars are driving in the same place and then they go to different places.
Yeah, I cried.
Quite arguably the best moment in the entire
universe. I totally cried. I was totally moved emotionally. I thought that they were super respectful with the way they handled that whole situation, like you said. And now that I know that is also the one where they jump out of planes in cars. And they do the skyscrapers.
Mm-hmm.
That
whole fucking sequence in Dubai feels like it was 12 movies ago, which means I forgot to talk about how bad Ronda Rousey also is.
Rousey fight with Rousey's horrendous acting.
As soon as it happened, I was like, oh no.
She makes makes Gina Carano look like she has depth and resonance.
The Meryl Streep of the MMA.
She's a better actor
world.
Than Gina Carano.
You just reminded me that Gina Carano is in these as well, which is unfortunate. But
they were like, they put Ronda Rousey in it. I'm like, oh, that's really bad. And then they brought Gina Carano in, and I was like,
but you know
better.
What? They had the decency to just be like, Ronda Rousey, you have one scene and there's not that much. Gina Carano's like a character.
No, they did a good job in just getting Ronda Rousey to be Ronda Rousey. That's always the play.
But they had her say words, and that's always a problem for me as a moviegoer.
I wonder how many takes they did, and it's like, that's as good as it's going to get.
If there's ever an
hands up.
If there's ever an entertainer,
hands up.
If there's ever an entertainer who sincerely suffered from not having Dusty coach them on their promos, it's Ronda Rousey.
She got pretty good toward the end when she was just like, "I'm gonna be pissed off the whole time." We're talking about her wrestling career now.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to put us there. But
talking about her serious acting career, not the Fast series.
I remember riding home with my roommates after this movie, and somebody was doing in the backseat Ronda Rousey reading Dr. Seuss, and it was like, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. And yeah.
You opened your teeth too much for that. But
one has a little hat.
We are now on to round two. One versus three. We love three, but I'm
shit.
I feel like one's advancing. Any objections there?
Yeah,
one advances, but it's a tight game. This is
Tokyo Drift is better.
Is better, but one is more important.
I will vote
no
for
way
because three kept the series going.
No way.
They built the cinematic universe and timeline of the whole thing. Like, three makes it so weird and necessary.
That's because three was such an unexpected smash that it made the entire rest of the series possible.
Can I flip my vote? Because I'm going to say this too. Three's got more Bama in it. So in a playoff, I'm going to go ahead and take it.
I hear everything you're saying. It's really hard for me because I appreciate that one.
But
grounds-
no, Ryan, they do not say race wars in Tokyo Drift. I can tell you right now.
The other thing I like about one is that it reminds us that this whole thing that we've gotten to in 7 and 8 and 9 started with a very low rent DVD heist operation.
It was. Yeah. Yeah. Have you guys all seen Better Luck Tomorrow?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I highly recommend this for a soon viewing.
Like, one isn't meant to be this, but it's very useful as like a superhero origin story where you're like, oh, Batman's not good at this yet. Batman's still figuring shit out.
Fast One is very much the Batman comic year one, where it's just a guy trying to solve crimes. Yes. It's not that easy, actually.
Yes. He could barely operate his nose.
I'm cool being in the minority with this, and I love them both. I will vote for three.
Oh, so that advanced.
That's three votes. That's three votes.
Wait,
Holly,
what?
Holly broke the tie. Yeah.
Server, we three server three. Went three. Yeah.
That's okay. Fine.
Wow.
The game is the game.
Okay. If I had noticed I was being a tiebreaker, I might have overthought it.
No,
I'm glad I did.
Hey, you followed your heart.
I haven't punched it in yet, so.
No, Holly followed her. I
stand by my vote. If I'd known I was tiebreaking, I might have overthought it.
Okay.
But I don't want that to be marked as any disrespect to Mr. One.
In that case, I have a sense this is our championship. 5-7. Whew.
Five.
Folks. Yeah. Get your fives up. All due respect to 7-7 is beautiful, wonderful, but I mean,
yeah.
It's not five.
If five had been the last movie in the series, I would have left completely satisfied.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know if there's any other one other than one that you can say that about.
Correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to Tokyo Drift versus Fast Five.
Five.
Gosh.
It's five. It's five.
Five's a monster.
It's five. Five's a juggernaut. The only movie.
Three.
Tokyo Drift.
We have a dissenting vote.
We love it.
Dissenting vote.
No,
I love it.
Wow. I love that this is Pat. I love that we brought passion to this debate. I love that there's
Cerber's really
good
going full
on both sides.
He's going full hand in the dirt, Cerber. Here, I can see it. In
yeah,
his
I
eyes.
Love this.
Cerber. So I think Cerber. Cerber.
You can't bully me.
Cerber is our Jason Statham. I think.
Yeah, he is. He's like, oh, I brought three.
He's in the Cerber's in the family, but you got to keep an eye on him.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Wiley.
You gotta say grace, Server. You reach for the chicken first.
I like what you talk.
Did we?
Yeah, I think if five didn't lose in the first round, there was no.
Yeah.
There was really no stop.
Hey, before we end this show,
like,
we got.
I'll tell you what would have been the. I'll tell you what would have been the death matchup is 5-7.
We had that.
We went five.
And five breezed.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying like if that had been like
the final,
I think that was
oh,
its
yeah,
best
yeah.
chance for
oh,
yeah.
Maybe so.
I think that
maybe
that
so.
Was the
once
it had
through.
Momentum.
That was the best shot I think it had.
If not for the way I rigged it, that would have been the final, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you for your wisdom in selecting this bracket correctly.
Eight was the only one of these I fell asleep watching.
Eight
Man,
is
fuck eight.
I saw yeah. 10 minutes of eight, and then I walked and just made dinner and just let it happen while I didn't pay attention.
Like this is good. This. I stuck with eight because Holly said skip four and eight, and while I agree that four doesn't work that well, I was like four was worth watching. I wasn't like sad that I watched four.
Oh,
eight,
so my reasons for skipping four were cinematic and sure. also like slightly universe based. My reasons for skipping eight were entirely emotional because
yes.
it's bad enough. That you like it's hard enough for us to come back off of very recently, you know, death of Gal Gadot's character, death of actual Paul Walker, and how they did these things beautiful, and then you got to turn around and do Han's legacy like that. No
yeah.
no my reasons for shutting eight out are entirely emotional, but they're right.
And like what do we have here? We have producer Vin towering over character Vin. Character Vin says it's all about family. Producer Vin says we got Jason Statham. We need to keep making money with him in our movie. So mm-hmm. Vin, your whole family
like
thing, fuck your family thing.
Like you weren't making enough fucking money out of these movies.
Also,
fuck you.
Also, fuck The Rock. He's so short. So short.
Okay, I will say that I thought The Rock was a value add in
100%
in five.
Yeah.
And then man, it's also though for the amount of high profile feuds and. Other disasters that this series has weathered, it has done an admirable job of keeping of like chugging right the fuck along.
You know
more
why
so
is?
Than some other big nine movie franchises
it's
I can name.
It's because it's all about family.
Mm-hmm. Unlike
and,
Star Wars, yeah.
And you know yep. the best. You know the best way to take care of your family, Spencer.
Oh, I think that's by getting the family plan with acorns.com.
This
that's
is when they want ads to run, right?
Right.
Acorns.com.
Brian Danny off the glass to the ghost of Paul Walker slams it home.
Acorns.com/fullcast, I believe. Jason, what's the bonus offer you get if you go there?
Boy, you get a $5 nitrous boost to your Woo! Retirement fund is what you get.
And
you
I'm
might,
like,
you might say too soon. No,
I'm,
it's never too soon
it,
to save.
That's what I was trying to get.
I live my life
retire,
a financial quarter at a
I'm
time.
I'm
going to
retire a quarter mile at a time. probably literally.
Spencer,
they just started howling in protest.
Spencer, how's the family plan looking right now?
Family plan's looking really good. My younger son embezzled another 13 cents ahead of his brother out of the account. What it's doing, I don't know, but it can't possibly be as lucrative as the sound financial investments you can make every day just by rounding up average purchases that you make at the supermarket and with some of Acorn's exclusive corporate partners, where you can double your benefits. That's right. All of these will get you a little bit closer to the promised land.
Like dollar an alarm by dollar. Clock.
I'm going to go feed this dog. Like right now while like we're recording it.
Clock. I was going to say.
She does.
I'm going to finish the ad. Go feed. But when she decides that it is dinner time, she's like a Mako shark. Like A, she will eat trash, and B, she can't stop moving. Anyway, acorns.com. Dogs can't have it.
Dogs can't have it. That's right. You know
but
what?
You know what dogs can.
You know
wear.
Dogs can
you
have.
Know what dogs can wear.
Homefieldapparel.com.
Comfortable vintage collegiate apparel for mostly the upper body.
Yeah, and mostly
and
humans.
Unlike dogs, this week at Homefield Apparel, it's all about cats. Another animal. Weird.
Wow. God.
Yeah, Kentucky.
Big Betty Nation over here.
Kentucky coming up for Big New Saturday. The Minnesota launch looked great. I don't know about y'all, but
those shirts were sick.
And I really
never thought I would want to wear that disgusting color combo, but the designs are sick.
I am really impressed by how many national hockey championship shirts you can buy now from Home Field Apparel. Like you, I think at this point you could do a whole week of schools you didn't go to and their hockey national championships. And I recommend you do that by going to homefieldapparel.com, use offer code FULLCAST, get 20% off your first purchase. Big New Saturday keeps rocking and rolling. We have, can we do something we're not allowed to do? No, we're not. We're not going to spoil.
What but are we not allowed
you
to
You just
do?
Said the best thing about five is it's the one where they're against the law. So,
what are we spoiling? Connor hadn't listened this far. He's very busy.
All right. You know what the next reveal is after Kentucky, right? You want to say it? Do you want to say it?
No.
You don't want to say it?
No.
All right.
I think we just
gave it away.
All right. We won't risk the goodwill of our valuable partner, Homefield Apparel. Connor, I'm sorry, it's Spencer's fault.